As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This is NHL in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
All right, time now for another edition of NHL in 7. We are available on, I don't even know how many outlets we are, but I'll try to name some. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Amazon. Lots of different outlets, of course. Also on the SiriusXM app, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. Follow us on Twitter at RyanPayne75 and at Victoria Matiash. Also, too, when it comes to the NHL, this is NHL in 7. So we want to just make sure that we're not directly affiliated.
We are not employees of or associated with the league itself. This is an independent podcast. What we're doing is we're looking at NHL on 7, the 7 days that led up to right now and the 7 days ahead of us, and try to paint a holistic portrait of what's going on in the league at the moment.
And that's why I looked at you to pick that up. Even though we talked about how we were going to say it, I kind of forgot.
But the NHL does not pay us.
No, the NHL does not pay us. That is true. That is true. NHL in 7, as Vic did say, we look back to the week that was, look at the big storylines. And every time we do this thing, there's so many different storylines. And then we look at Week to Come, also a fantasy segment. Vic does great work for ESPN.com. She's also on News Talk 1010. Let's get this out there, right? Because somebody told me, or someone told you, to maybe talk a little bit about what we do. Because people, if they're tuning in, they may not know exactly what we do. So I kind of spoiled it. You do fantasy stuff and News Talk 1010.
I contribute in a few different ways to ESPN.com. I have for, I think I'm in my 16th year now.
Amazing.
Mostly fantasy, but I had some other things as well. And then, yeah, my other gig is I anchor the news on occasion on News Talk 1010, which is a Toronto news station if you're from elsewhere. And so it's a very varied life, which I like. And you, of course, you're on the NHL Network.
NHL Network, yep. I've been there for a long time. Hot Stove, shameless plug, with Dennis Bernstein and
Excellent
Dave Pagnotta.
Thank fantastic. You, Vic. Every and Saturday, it's amazing.
I'm not paying Vic for this, people. I'm just telling you, she listens. She's on our show quite a bit. And anytime you get to that status of friend of the show, that means you've reached the high point of the show.
I'm incredibly honored.
And I do a bunch of stuff, too, for SiriusXM as well, other channels. But anyway, this is great. We come up with ideas, of course, before the show begins, and there's so many. So we could probably pick 25 or 30 different topics, right? But these are the ones that we think made the most headlines.
And I think the one that stood out the most, we'll call it maybe the sexiest, was Ovechkin breaking the record for scoring the most goals with one singular team. So he doesn't catch Howe, because Howe scored a handful with Hartford.
Right.
But he's definitely increasing. So 787.
Yep.
Nobody else in the history of the NHL has scored more goals with one team. It's incredible. And what's even more incredible, chasing down Howe, chasing down Gretzky, eventually maybe, he still has 3 more years on his contract with the Washington Capitals beyond this one.
He's going to do it.
Do you think so? Oh, we're talking about breaking Gretzky's record.
Breaking Gretzky's 894.
So he's 894 right now.
So what's
Ovi
the
is 780. I knew you were going to say that. Oh, no. 107. That's right.
Okay, so he has 3 years left on the contract.
Beyond this one.
Beyond
he's not
this
done.
One. Beyond this one. So 82 times 3 when it comes to the regular season, you're at 246 games starting next season if he fulfills that 3-year contract. So he needs 107. In 246, if he was stuck at 107 going into 23-24, but he'll get a bunch more this season.
Oh, so he's not done, right?
There is no way that he's not going to get it.
If healthy.
Healthy, and he's been healthy, knock on wood, okay? He has been the one thing that he has dodged a lot in his career has been the serious injuries.
How old is Alex Ovechkin right now?
I'm going to say 36, 7, because you don't think he's quite that? Because Crosby's up there. Every time you think, okay, he was born in 85. So that to me is 37. He has to be 37.
He has. He just turned 37.
Okay,
I thought he was 35, 36. So this is more towards my point.
Yeah.
I know he's built like a barn.
Yeah.
He's one of the strongest players in the league. He's almost, you almost can't defeat him physically. And I have nothing, there's nothing negative to say about his inability to score goals or his ability to score goals,
right,
especially from his office on the ice. Why anybody, the opposition on the power play leaves or on the kill, lets him stand there?
Can you explain that,
know,
please?
I don't know.
It's been the same thing year after year.
Let somebody else score on you, but you can't in his office, right?
And 9 times out of 10, when healthy, it's been Backstrom to Ovi. It's been the same play over and over again. So why don't coaches then? Why don't they say, hey,
maybe he's just that good.
Come on.
Anyway.
That's fine, but why don't they say, you know what's going to happen tonight? When the Capitals get a power play, here's what's going to happen. Ovi's going to set up in his office like Gretzky did behind the net. Nobody could touch him. Ovi's going to set up in the office and he'll still score. Well, how do we stop that, coach? Not sure, because every team tries to and they can't do it. So back to your point, maybe it is just who he is.
37, he finds the holes. 37 years old, it is who he is. 37 right. years old. And so that means he's going to be into his 40s when this contract concludes. Again, he's built like a barn, but I'm still going to say this. Father Time respects nobody. I'm not saying that expression quite right, but you can't fight it.
I get what you're saying.
And when we thought that Chara was going to be able to play forever and other players, I'm still wondering if he is going to be the same player at 39, which he would have to be, that he is right now. So that's my only concern. I know it seems more obvious now he's going to break Gretzky's record because he just keeps on stomping on, but I'm starting to wonder a little bit more.
I think what he has to do, and who are we to tell Ovi how to play hockey, but I think what he has to do is really put the pedal down for the next year or two. Try to get as many in as possible. Because just when you said that about his game changing or how he's going to be in 3 years from now, is he going to be the same? Is he going to be able to still be as physical? He's still physical. Not as much as he used to be.
So you're suggesting he's up a little bit.
Yeah. So I think these next two seasons are so crucial. What, 107 away? 107 as of right now away. And there's what? How many more games for the Caps this season? 65 maybe?
Something like that.
So let's say he gets another 30. Then he will be 80-something away. It's possible. And then push next year. So then in the last year of the contract or the last 2 years of contract, and then we'll move on to someone else, in the last two years of contract, he's not going to feel that intense pressure to do it. I don't think he does feel pressure to do it, actually. I think he wants it.
I think he's a player who still just enjoys playing the game.
Yeah, he does.
I think he's got that Jagr-ness
to him. He's got the kid in him.
I think he's like Kessel. I think he's like Jaromir Jagr. I think he just likes to go to the rink. And I don't know what else he would do. I think he'll probably get into like coaching or management or something. Probably not here.
Right.
Probably in his homeland.
Do you think he'll go back and play 1 year in Russia?
Possibly. I think it depends. Well, let me put it to you this way. If he breaks Gretzky's record before the final year of his current contract with the Washington Capitals, I'm not sure he fulfills that.
Right.
And I think maybe he goes back and he does one last year in Russia because he doesn't have anything to prove.
787, 1,421 points. I love this too. 755 penalty minutes and 289 power play goals. And how about this one? Wonder how many times Ovechkin kills penalties? Just take a guess, roughly. Say per season, how many minutes does he play in the penalty kill?
I don't know. Go ahead.
5 shorthanded goals.
Really?
Out of the 787. So that he would be great on it, but you don't need to use him on it.
Because
that's right. That's not where he
And also he doubles up time on the power play.
He does.
So whenever they change the unit, often he's still out there. So there's only so much ice time you can take.
Love watching him. The grade 8. I said to you last week, I was really adamant that if the Leafs, they had the game in Philly, or game at Philly, then they had the game against Boston, and then on Sunday they had the game against Carolina. I said if they came away with 1 point, let alone if they didn't come away with any points, Sheldon Keefe would be gone Monday morning. Even if they came away with 1 point, I did think Sheldon Keefe was going to be gone on Monday morning.
This is what we said altogether. We said with the 3-game set coming up after that horrific trip through California, they needed to win 2 of 3. They had to win 2 of 3, one against Philadelphia, ideally, and then split the Carolina-Boston, and then Keith survives to see another week coaching this hockey team. And full credit to the Leafs, full credit to Keith.
Yeah, true.
Full credit to all of them. They won all three. They won all three in impressive fashion for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Every game was a little bit different.
Yeah.
They needed to beat Philadelphia soundly. It was a backup goaltender.
That was a game.
Philly was traveling.
That was a game they should, out of the three, they had to win.
They had to win. And they actually, and but they won it convincingly. It was 5-2.
Right.
It wasn't much of an issue. But Philly was traveling. The backup goaltender was in net. They didn't have to face Carter Hart. They were back home. The Leafs were back home. They had to win that one. They did. John Tavares, full credit to him. I'm giving
back
him that
home
one.
In that robust building that is Scotiabank Arena.
Right.
Come on. Sorry, what's that? Oh, I can hear a pin drop. Carry on.
Okay, but they're still back home in front of their own fans.
Can I say one quick thing about that game? I understand that the stars in the NHL, and this was a big topic after that, John Tortorella went off on Auston Matthews, the whole Travis Konecny thing. I understand you don't want to drop the mitts. Those are very expensive hands. I absolutely understand that, but don't smile. Don't be like that. Don't get on the ice. And if someone is trying to challenge you, you don't need to fight him. If he drops the gloves, get bear hug. You know the reinforcements are going to come in. Mark Giordano, 85 years old, diving in, diving in from the end of the other end of the rink. I don't like, and he's done this before. He did this, I think, in a playoff game against Montreal.
I think it's his personality, Ryan. I think it's his personality.
I think it ticks me off, and there's no reason why it should. And I can see why it gets under the skin of players.
Is
and
it the
coaches
worst
like
thing?
It's not, but to me, that's almost a lack of respect. It's a lack of respect for, you think you can challenge me? Here's what I think he's saying. You're going to actually try to challenge me? Do you know there's four other guys on the ice that are going to come after you? I'm fine with that. Not many players in the NHL can say that. There's not many that will get in that situation and will smile. They will have to fend for themselves. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Jerome McGinley used to smile when he was pounding the tar out of somebody.
And he fought so many people toward the last part of his career.
Yeah, he also broke his hand when he didn't need to break his hand.
Right.
I'm fine. And,
okay.
And any Maple Leafs fan should be concerned that Auston Matthews never drops the gloves, never tries to hit anybody, just stays out of it. He can smile, he can frown, he can cry, he can laugh. I don't care. I don't want him to break his hand. He's one of the best players in the league. That goes for all of the superstars. I don't want to see Pastrnak fight. I don't want to see McDavid fight. I don't want to see Dreisaitl fight.
But you see McDavid get in some sort of tussle with somebody, not seeing a full fist fight, but you see him engage. You see Crosby engage. You see others engage.
Get out of there.
I heard this on the weekend. If the team feels it's fine, if his teammates are fine with it, then I guess don't worry about it. But I thought it was a bit like a disrespectful.
Convincing 5-2 win, though, over the Philadelphia Flyers. Mm-hmm. And then the big test, of course, on the weekend against Boston.
Yeah.
Best team in the East at the time.
They came to play. Toronto came to play.
And they did that. I would say that was their best game of the season. I know some people are arguing Carolina was impressive on the Sunday. I don't know. Defensively, the way that they looked. Auston Matthews came. He came to play, scored the two goals. It was a very satisfying game to watch.
And they lose Samsonov.
And they lost
after
their
the penalty
new
shot.
Number one goaltender.
Yeah.
So here's the situation.
Uh-huh.
Redemption City, they win the three in a row, including Sunday's unexpected win in my mind over Carolina. I thought
Agreed.
They'd be a little bit bagged, but they weren't. Not enough anyway. Full kudos to Erik Sjögren for showing up for that one and putting in a great performance. I've heard that he wasn't tested. I watched that game. He was tested just fine, and I thought he played really well. But now Erik Sjögren is your number one goaltender. Your backup is a gentleman by the name of Keith Petruzzelli.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been with the Marlies this year. He's 6-0 with the Marlies.
Very
he's
good.
He's looked fantastic. Yeah. But he's very he's untested. He just got his first NHL contract.
Right.
He was playing in the ECHL last year with the Newfoundland Growlers.
Right.
So
want me to growl?
This is going to be and coming up, the Leafs have back to back over the weekend.
Yeah,
Penguins Canucks. So if Matt Murray isn't ready to come back yet, and I imagine he might not be since he hasn't practiced as of this moment.
Right. Keith said that there's something
on the horizon
better than there was last week.
On the horizon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on the horizon is that's short order, man.
And you know what? You mentioned Pittsburgh and Vancouver. Those are games they have to win. Those are games that they should win.
You need 3 out of 4 points
right.
there. I don't mind an overtime loss
if
Sidney Crosby comes to play. Okay, the Penguins are a mess. But they need 3 out of 4 points.
I would put, is Pittsburgh before Vancouver or is Vancouver before Pittsburgh? I think Pittsburgh's Friday. I think, Pittsburgh's Friday, the Hall of Fame game.
And then, that's right. And then
they
play
Vegas.
The Canucks on the Saturday.
So here's the thing then. I assume Sjögren will go in on Tuesday.
Against Vegas? Yes, of course.
So then do you put...
Come on, kid.
So then do you put the rookie in against Pittsburgh in the Hall of Fame game? Or do you
no.
save him for Vancouver?
No, you save him for Vancouver.
Okay, that was my point. I knew Sjögren was, but I thought, do you put him again? Do you make it? Whatever.
But we're all rooting for the Petruzzelli kid.
Yeah,
there's a video out there on social media of the announcement of him getting the 2-year entry level deal with the Leafs. Go and check it out. It's heartwarming. I choked up a little bit. Tall kid, 6'6".
Lanky.
He doesn't weigh a lot for being 6'6".
Hope the pads are extra.
He says he's talked about how he's had difficulty putting on weight.
I bet.
Just you, when you're that tall, you're just burning it constantly. And so we'll see. But he's still needs to fill out a little bit, I imagine. But it's going to be interesting. We're all rooting for him before that. The Leafs get. Now, here's my question for you. Do they trade for a goaltender in the meanwhile?
No.
I agree with you.
No, they don't. If they are able to say they have 3 games a week, if you can get 2 out of 3, if you can get 4 out of 6 points, if you can kind of keep on that run till you have Murray back. And Samsonov is it's the need. So we couldn't have an MRI. So
we're still waiting on the results.
Essentially, they were saying maybe a week or two, hopefully. Eh. Right. I know. Knees and then Murray.
That anyway. Looks like a 3 to 4 weeker to me.
It was awkward, right? I mean, I know goalies can bend, but
if Eric Schalgren continues to play well, right. Matt Murray comes back. I agree with you. I was about to go ballistic on you if you said, they need to trade for a goal.
No, not at all.
The internet thinks so. So it's anyway.
And we believe everything the internet says.
The internet's always right.
They play Boston on Saturday.
Who have gone through a little bit of an interesting time.
So let's talk about it. It needs to be talked about. Go ahead.
Well, basically, because we could spend an hour and a half on
at
this,
least.
And we're not going to.
No.
And we're talking, of course, about the Mitchell Miller signing, the misguided Mitchell Miller signing. So basically, Boston signs this kid who has a not great history. He was, you can look at all, look up the story if you're not familiar with it. And I imagine you probably are.
It's awful.
But now they signed him unexpectedly. Everybody was caught by surprise, including the league itself.
Yes.
We'll get to that in a second. And basically, all the media, the Boston fans themselves, the hockey fans all over, came down really hard on the Bruins, justifiably in my mind, and they have since rescinded the contract for Mitchell Miller. So we're going to have to see now how that's going to work, because they didn't rescind an offer.
No.
Okay.
It's an actual contract.
It was a signed contract. The Players Association has the obligation to support this player because he was signed to an NHL contract. So whether they can come up with, not an excuse, but the reasoning that, okay, Mitchell Miller and his agent didn't provide all the information about the steps made for restorative justice and the redemption and all the rest of it, that hadn't been proven and they were misled, then maybe they can get out of it legally. Otherwise, they have to buy him out. I don't see any other recourse.
No, I don't either. And we talked about it a bit on my show on the weekend. And that actually broke during the show when Commissioner Bettman and Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly, they were overseas in the Global Series. And when Commissioner said he is not eligible for the NHL.
How impressive was that?
Very impressive. And Twitter erupted with that. And Gary Bettman has been...
occasionally maligned.
Right. Leave it at that. But with this, to me, it was simple. It was to the point. It was direct.
He didn't hesitate.
No, it was what was needed.
The league wasn't aware of the signing. Yeah. Bruins hadn't talked to them about it. Yeah. And he didn't, I'm summarizing here.
Right.
But he didn't foresee any way, if ever, Mitchell Miller was going to play in the NHL. But you could tell he was seething at having been put in the situation, but he had his calm commissioner face on.
Right.
You can always tell he has a few physical tells.
Oh, he does.
Like, he's mad. Yeah. And he was mad, but he kept it together.
Yeah.
He didn't shy away from the question. He could have said, we need to do more research. We haven't spoken to the Bruins yet. We'll get back to you on this. He could have gotten away. I don't know if he would have gotten away with, but he could have tried to get away with that.
Right.
Instead, the NHL, the league addressed it head on. And I tip my cap to them for that.
And what is also interesting about this whole thing is that Patrice Bergeron coming out saying with Elliot Friedman about the whole, that signing was, or drafting was a little bit interesting. It kind of doesn't.
Nick Foligno.
Yeah.
Same
thing. So when you have your players doing that. So quick one before we leave this one. What happens to Don Sweeney?
I think he survives it.
Why? Why should he survive it? He did not go to the NHL. He's taken a gamble. He basically said when he talked to...
Because I don't think he acted alone.
But he talked about this and he said, I'm not sure. Maybe this is going to backfire.
Don Sweeney is not making this decision by himself. So for Cam Neely, the president, to basically throw the GM under the bus on this one, I think feels a little offside.
Okay.
Unless the owner, Jeremy Jacob, who's an interesting individual, demands it, I think there's going to be a lot of contrition going forward, and they're going to say, give us another shot. This is the biggest mistake this organization has made for a long period of time. Give us another go. We're going to make amends and move forward. That's my guess. You're not in agreement.
No, I'm not. And you know what? I think it was a mistake. I do.
The whole thing was a mistake.
The whole thing was a mistake. And I think Don Sweeney should be held accountable. And I think that there should be something. I don't know what it is, but there should be something. The whole team's against you. All the players are against you. The ones that have been there well before you, the ones that have created legacies,
but
like
the Bergeron.
The Bruins
don't play for Don Sweeney. They play for Jim Montgomery. Okay. That's the difference to me.
Fair enough.
But we'll see. Next week, we'll see. Is Don Sweeney still the general manager of the Boston Bruins?
I saw this last one before we hit the break. I saw this website's kind of neat. You can go back and see division standings on this date last year, the year before, the year before. On this date, the Devils, they were second last in the Metro at 5-3-2, and they had 12 points in, that would be 10 games. 12 points in 10 games.
They have a few more now.
What the heck is going on? What the heck is going on? We discussed this on the weekend. Everybody is talking about this team. They're scoring. I said, and I made this point, that, and I forgot, since 2016 or 17, one of those years, so say 6-7 years ago, something like that, the amount of top 10 picks they've had, or draft picks in the first round, 10, I think, 10 plus, in the top 10, 5 or 6, something like that. I'm paraphrasing. But there have been development, there have been draft picks taken by this team that sometimes take a little bit of time to, I'm not saying this is going to be, it's sustainable. But what's nice to see is that the drafting process, everything kind of coming together right now.
They're having
fun. And they're having fun. And there's so many teams in the league that draft from within. And it takes forever to see anything. I love the whole draft within thing. I know you can, or keep
you like,
within.
You like building from the ground
up. I do. I really do. And I think for the Devils, what they're doing this season is so impressive. And even if you don't like them, come on.
They're a lot more fun to watch than they have been historically.
Yeah, they're actually scoring goals.
They are scoring goals. And they're not even just getting it from your Heishers and your Hugheses and, oh, Brat. Jeez.
What's that next contract going to look like?
Significantly larger than it is right now.
Right.
But you got Miles Wood contributing. You've got other like supporting players coming in there as well. And they do look like they're having a good time. And you're getting some excellent goaltending from Vanecek as well. So credit to him. So it's fun. Like I said, I think the league is more fun when the Devils do well. And when they're not playing that trap type style hockey, which they're not, I think we still accuse them of doing a little bit of that historically. But no, they're having a good time out there and they're scoring goals.
I love it. And they were not very good at scoring the year before. Scoring has been an issue. And I saw this too, that the two oldest teams in the league by average age are Pittsburgh and Washington. No surprise.
That was my guess.
The three youngest are the Devils, Columbus, and the Kraken, I believe, are the youngest. Seattle?
Okay.
Something like that. Anyway,
it makes sense.
I know for sure Columbus and New Jersey are down there with the youngest ones as well. So anyway, the youngster is playing well. Going to be a lot of fun. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll focus in. Oh, yeah. Bringing down the clink hammer.
We are.
That is next. NHL in 7. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. Anywhere you get your podcast. Also on the SiriusXM.
Welcome back to NHL in 7 with Ryan Payne and Victoria Matiash.
That is Ryan Payton. I am Victoria Matiash, and this is indeed NHL in 7, where we look at the week that was, the week coming ahead as well, and now it's occasion for one of our favorite segments.
Love it. I'm so excited when we last do this, because I can't wait to do this segment the week after. Anyway, go on.
One of our favorite segments.
Time now to drop the clink hammer.
So we're not dropping the hammer.
No.
We're dropping the clink hammer.
Yeah, can you explain that?
In honor of Robert Klinkhammer, NHL journeyman, had an impressive career, well-traveled, and he was in the K for a few years after he wrapped up his NHL. So
quite a long time.
So not dropping the hammer, we're dropping the clink hammer in honor of Robert, and this is where we take more of a critical eye with a view on players and teams and people who maybe didn't have the best week.
Right.
Let's put it to you that way. And not that they can't redeem themselves, but right now it's not looking so hot.
And sometimes, because this is, I think, I don't know, the third, fourth, whatever podcast we've done, sometimes it could be the same player or team from a week before that still we could.
There are trends.
We could keep bringing the clip, but we're not going to do that. We're going to change it up a bit. But we have a list. Your thoughts on Jordan Binnington?
Well, my thoughts on the St. Louis Blues in general are not that favorable right now.
No.
I don't know what's going on with them, but they can't win games. I'm going to start up front. We'll get to Binnington in a minute.
Okay.
Boy, oh boy, do they miss David Perron.
Yeah, they do.
I think Ryan O'Reilly misses David Perron more than he would miss his spouse under different circumstances.
Right.
He has not looked right at all this season. He has one goal. Ryan O'Reilly has one goal. You know how many assists he has? Zero. He has zero assists. He has one goal. They tried him with Jordan Kyrou up front. They're not winning games. They need to shuffle people around. Craig Berube needs to figure out what's going on here. He can't play with Jordan Kyrou. That's been a disaster.
Right.
They're moving in other neighbors who's up there the other day. Anyways, Ryan O'Reilly is an excellent hockey player, and he's going to figure things out eventually. But this team does not look in sync right now. They are losing games they shouldn't be losing. And then again, at the back end, you've got Jordan Binnington, who came out smoking to start this season and now looks like a complete disaster. And anybody who watched it, you watched the Islanders game the other day when the Blues played the Islanders.
I saw that one.
It was, the optics were awful. Not only did the Blues not play well, didn't win, but on top of that, Binnington is just making, he's being a brat.
Mm-hmm.
I could use stronger language. We're going to keep this family friendly for this segment. He's bumping Ilya Sorokin when they're on the ice, you know, shuffling around, and then being nasty in his own crease with his stick. What is he doing?
Is that
such a bad look?
Is that even gamesmanship?
No.
I'm glad you said that.
I don't think
I
so.
I saw that, and there's been goalies over the course of time that have done that. They've, you know, crossed past center ice because at the other different periods, you go opposite ends. You have to get to the other, you know, door that you go out of when you first came on in the first period. But when I saw that, and number one, there's something about him too that
he's an interesting duck.
Okay. He's an interesting guy. I didn't like it. But reason why I ask you if it was gamesmanship, because sometimes if you want to get in the head of the opposition, you see different things happening, right? Look at Ron Hextall when he was playing hockey. He would swipe your legs off and he would just be
Jordan Binnington is not Ron Hextall.
That I know. So
but
I think this is silly. I think it's silly. It's childish. It doesn't do anything.
Let me put it to you this way. I think it's childish and in ridiculous under any circumstances, but it also smells a lot worse when you can't win a hockey game.
Yeah, fair enough. If you do that, you back it up then.
So,
right?
And they didn't end up winning that game either. So something needs to happen with St. Louis. I think they are too deep of a team to not turn it around, including starting with Ryan O'Reilly. I think the goaltending will be better. I don't know if they are a playoff team, but they are going to play better. But right now, they stink.
Ryan O'Reilly, minus 11 in the 8 games.
And I don't think he's the worst.
No.
I think somebody's worse.
Minus 11.
One of the best two-way forwards in the game.
And there's also, if I'm not mistaken, a contract extension looming at some point.
It's still early. And again, he's the heartbeat of that team. He's one of the better players in the NHL. I'm a big fan, actually. I love the way he plays the game.
When the season ends, Tarasenko off the books, O'Reilly off the books.
Interesting.
They extended Thomas 8 seasons. Kyrou could be next. But a lot of people are saying if this continues, O'Reilly's not going to be coming back. I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but still.
We've got a lot to play, but they need to figure something out here because it doesn't look right at all.
I said to you, I think the first show we did, we were talking about the Pacific Division and we mentioned about it being the province of Alberta's division to lose, Calgary and Edmonton. After the first game or two or three, something like that, I mentioned Jack Campbell and I said, there's something that just does not seem right with Jack Campbell. Not a, just a feeling I have and I had. When he was with Toronto, of course, he was with the Kings, but he started to come into his own in Toronto. When he was with Toronto, and he was very vocal about this, he took losing very, very hard. I know goalies do, but he, to me, vocally anyway, took it harder than I think a lot of other goalies did. Mentally with him, if he's off even by a fraction, his game is going to be off by more than a fraction. To a man, he has said he's stunk. He's been pathetic.
Pathetic.
He's been awful.
He used pathetic over and over.
And I admire that. I really do. When he signed with Edmonton, when he signed with Edmonton, good contract, good on him. He turned that year with Toronto. Toronto couldn't give him the extra year, all the money, whatever it is. He signed with Edmonton. I thought, great. Number one, that's good for him. Secondly, he proved that he can play in the NHL at a high level. And now he's going to a team in Edmonton that's a pretty darn good hockey team. So what can go better for him than the situation that he's putting himself into with Edmonton? I don't know what it is. Between the ears, something like that. But for Jack Campbell to come out and say it's pathetic.
The way that he's played personally. Yeah. Because the team is still winning games.
Team's winning games.
But he gave but up they're not, five goals to Chicago.
Yeah, the numbers
are awful.
He gave up
4 goals to Nashville. This is all within the last week or so. And then he gave up 6 goals on the weekend to the Dallas Stars. And the Edmonton Oilers did not win that hockey game. So that's an issue. So, you know, giving up 5 goals, 4 goals, 6 goals, you're not going to last. Stuart Skinner is going to be the starting net minder for the Edmonton Oilers soon enough. Now, I agree with you on one. Self-awareness is great. I think we're all better when we're self-aware, and that goes for goaltenders in the NHL as well.
Right.
But the issue with Jack Campbell's self-awareness is it's very self-berating. He's constantly, he tears himself down more. It's almost like he wants to beat you to tearing him down.
Right.
No, I was pathetic.
He
I was garbage.
First.
I stunk. And I'm concerned about the guy that this gets so much in his head.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear a little bit more swagger from him. Yes, okay, I was not great the last couple of weeks. I'm working on it, and I'm going to turn it around, and you just wait. You just wait to see what I do against so-and-so coming up and so-and-so coming up. That's
right.
What I want to hear from him. So I'm concerned. I agree with you. I'm concerned about him in that respect, but the self-awareness is almost too much. I almost want him to be a little bit more Teflon-like with his own addressing.
So you think of a lot of this then is his doing. A lot of this is him beating himself down.
He's way too hard on himself.
Right. That's what I was saying.
It's going to affect you moving forward. So yeah. I hope his teammates and his coaches around him are saying, you're great. We trust you. They need to do this. You're great. We trust you. This is a long season. And you don't want to have to turn to Stuart Skinner more often than not. He's great. He's doing fine.
And do you remember after the All-Star break when Campbell did not play as well for Toronto?
Well, he got up to such a steaming start last year. He was never going to.
But he said he was tired, and there was a lot of things happening. He said the break wasn't the best. He went to the All-Star game. He was playing in the game, but then after that, then Shalgren came in and spelled him for a bit off in that. So anyway, goalies are a different breed.
Listen,
I said this to you before.
Better now,
I know.
Better now,
I know.
Struggle now. Get it together by Christmas. Have a great second half of the season. We're not going to be talking about it anymore. But right now, it does not look good for him.
Just quickly to the their Alberta neighbor. The Calgary Flames, as of this, 11 points in 10 games. Far less than I thought. Far less than I thought. Daryl Sutter's...
They've got a road trip coming up, too.
Daryl Sutter's not been happy, trying to use the bench. And when he's not... See the other comment.
Is he ever happy?
I know.
He's less happy. He's even more unhappy than his usual. Let's get to the Flames in the week to come, because I want to do a deeper dive on that.
Okay. All right. Former Flame, Matthew Tkachuk. So Matthew, whenever trades go down, Brad Tree Living, when he made the deal for Huberto and Mackenzie Weegar and Trady Tkachuk after Goodrow decided, thanks, but no thanks, I'm going to Columbus, all that stuff. For Brad Tree Living to do that, I'll maintain it to this day. Even if it doesn't equate into or result into a Stanley Cup and all that type of stuff for Calgary, I thought it was a great trade. He got back a lot in return for Matthew Tkachuk. Matthew Tkachuk is a talented player. He's not a great player. He's a good player. Not a great player.
Pretty good player.
I'm going to say good player.
Pretty good player.
Good player. He's not a pretty good player yet. Good player.
I'm going to arm wrestle you after this.
This is going to be intense. He's got the Tkachuk blood in him. He's got the Tkachuk genes in him. Brady, Keith, Matthew.
And the Panthers needed that. So that's what they traded for.
Right.
But they did not trade for a player to poke Jonathan Quick in the eye.
Don't be stupid.
It's ridiculous.
Don't be stupid.
But it's not even just being stupid, Ryan. It's being dangerous. This is dangerous. And I know the odds of getting the stick through the cage hole into Jonathan Quick's eye. Was he trying to poke out the goaltender's eye? Of course he was not.
But you know what?
You're responsible. So Tkachuk has been suspended 2 games. It should have been 5. He was suspended 2 games.
You know how much money he's going to lose?
How much?
Over $107,000.
Great.
That's 2 games.
Anyway. Okay, whenever you get into how much the money
is... games enough?
It's 5. He should have gotten 5. He got 2. He should have gotten 5. You are responsible. Again, was he trying to poke his eye out? Of course he wasn't. You are responsible for your stick. We have been talking about that for years and years now. Even if it's accidental, you are responsible for your stick.
Right.
And he went, and I know he's just trying to poke him in the face or whatever. And guess what? The blade of the stick gets into Jonathan Quick's eye. This could have been way worse. Thank goodness he's fine.
Could have been awful.
But you can't do that. And also with the goaltender in a vulnerable position like that, everything about that was ugly.
So if it was worse, God forbid, right? So if it was worse, and we can open up, maybe we can talk about this next week because we have a ton more to get to in this podcast, but that always brings up a discussion point for me, and I think it's valid. If somebody is seriously injured on a play,
it does weigh into it. They've said the NHL has admitted to that.
It shouldn't.
It's not just intent, they say, but if there's been injury sustained. Yes, if Matthew Tkachuk took out Jonathan Quick's eye, he was going to be suspended for a lot more than two games.
It shouldn't be that way.
It's an interesting argument.
It is, because I know people are listening. Of course it should. He's gone for the year. It's fine. But the act didn't change, whether he meant to or not. The act is the act. So if you do that, then... But I understand it happens. I get it. Anyway, it's something that bothers me with... I don't envy the Department of Player Safety. I think there could be...
We are not going to start talking about the Department of Player Safety right now.
Yeah, Josh Anderson's hit on Alex Pietrangelo.
Boarding.
Right in front of the... Look, if you want to do boarding, first of all, don't ever do boarding. But if you want to do boarding, you think you can, don't do it right in front of the opposition's bench. It's not probably the best area of the ice to do it.
And in housekeeping, he also got, Anderson also got suspended two games. Yeah. So two games for almost poking somebody's eye out and two games for boarding. And it could have been a very dangerous hit. I agree with you. He saw the numbers. You got to pull back. You got to do what you need to do.
How come you can't then? How come you just can't not throw the book at people, but make it as high as you can? There shouldn't be.
I think
we're doing exactly what you said we shouldn't be doing. And that's going into this whole topic of discussion when it comes to this, which is fine. We don't have to. We can do it some other time. But
I think the league should be harsher on situations where people are in danger. Absolutely. 100%.
Hockey is the one sport that doesn't have any exits, right? Football does. Baseball does. Basketball does. Hockey, they got boards and it's fast.
You're stuck.
There's no exits. Dangerous game. Anyway, I think we...
Anderson should have got, I'm okay with the two, maybe three games for Anderson.
More.
Two
five,
was fine.
Five.
See,
No.
But Tkachuk, five.
Because
five,
then it
more.
Opens up the whole thing. Say I was on the ice against you and I did the exact same hit. Say you got hurt a tiny bit more.
But
three games, four, five.
Okay.
Well, then pretend you're hurt. All of a sudden, Bruce Cassidy. Alex is going to be out for a bit. 10 games. Great. Oh, he's back. Wow. 10 game suspension, back in two. Okay. Anyway, Vegas, we talked about them last week too. They continue to be a great story. Jack Eichel doing his thing, what have you. So anyway, that was bringing down the clink hammer. Anything else you want? Columbus, do you want to dive into Columbus?
We're going to just very series, quickly we're going to drop the clink hammer very, very quickly on the Columbus Blue Jackets.
And didn't we do it the week before?
They look an
didn't
absolute
we do it the week
mess.
Before that?
They did.
Okay.
We did. Yeah. They look an absolute mess, but I really thought that they were going to make something led by Patrick Laine in this global series in Finland where there's a couple of hometown guys.
Such a nice story.
I mean, Rantanen scored a hat trick. I know Laine scored, but to lose both games, they really needed to split against Colorado and they didn't. And so, once again, we are dropping the clink hammer on the Columbus Blue Jackets. I don't know, just too young maybe still, just still figuring things out, but... I think we're already talking about them not making the playoffs, and that's quite an interesting conversation to have in early November.
I certainly would not put the blame on Johnny Gaudreau entirely.
No.
The new signing, the money, the free agent, a lot of times
you have three other lines on the ice. You have three other lines
on
the ice that need to make things happen.
So if anyone is blaming Gaudreau for all this, you're completely wrong. So they have some key games this week. But 3-9. 3-9 going into this week. Losing that last one 5-1. Anyway, that was Bring Down the Clink Hammer. Next week, we'll bring down the clink hammer on who knows. Maybe some of the same. We don't know. But we'll continue to do that here on NHL and 7. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. We'll talk fantasy after this.
Welcome back to NHL and 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Into the last segment of the podcast, NHL in 7, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. You can get us wherever you get your podcasts, Amazon, Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. The list goes on and on. On Google as well, by the way. Put us on Google, too. We're all over the place.
Fantastic.
SiriusXM app as well. Follow us on Twitter at RyanPayne75, at Victoria Matiash. This segment we're going to do the week to come, looking at some of the key games in our minds. of the whole bunch that are going to happen this week in the NHL. And of course, ending with Vic's fantasy segment, looking at some players to look at as you go into that starting on, of course, this Monday. So some of these will be quick. Some will be a little more in depth. Toronto, Vegas, enough said.
Just next. It's just going to be fun.
How about
it's
that?
It's going to be a fun game.
Next, right?
Right.
Going to be great. And when Toronto was in Vegas, they had that loss. So they lost to Vegas that, and they were in Vegas 2 weeks ago, a week and a half, something like that. I think it was a Monday. So it's been 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks, I think, something like that. Anyway, that's going to be interesting. Nashville, Seattle.
Now, let me stop you for a moment here.
What do we got, more Vegas?
Usually, no. No. Usually, even ahead of this season, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about marquee matchup this week, the Predators and the Kraken.
Pardon? No. How about the Kraken?
How about those Kraken?
Love
them, it. Them Kraken? Those Kraken?
I'd say them Kraken.
Them Kraken?
Them Kraken. Right. Yeah. They're all there cracked up to be Vic. They're all there cracked.
I never know how to write.
More than, I don't either.
Member of the Kraken.
It's funny you mention that. There was something that was said the other day, whether I heard it or I said it, and I thought, that's not right. But it was right. So I'm not going to, anyway, if it comes to me at some point, I will. Seattle. So yes, is it going to be sustainable? We don't know. I looked at this team going into the season that they would take steps forward. I didn't expect them to be where they're at this point in the year now, but I did think that they were going to go a little bit further. To me, even when they put the team together last year, and I think probably we talked about this at some point when you were on one of my shows over the course of the 21-22 season, but Seattle's not going to, you know, they're not going to overbear you. They aren't going to be this dominating team most nights, but they're going to play tough. They're going to play hard. They're going to play tough.
And they didn't play as tough as we expected them to.
No.
They weren't as difficult defensively to play against defensively as we expected last year. I didn't think they were going to score goals, and they didn't.
Right.
But I thought they'd be a little bit tougher to score against. And they weren't. And this year, it all seems to be coming together. They're still not that tough defensively, but they're scoring goals now.
Right.
And I think Matty Beniers is a big key there. That's not, I don't think anything. Matty Beniers is a big key there. And I think he's kind of roping everybody else along with him. And everybody, the Burakovsky acquisition, I think was a great one too. So they're gelling more.
Yeah.
And they look better.
They seem to play within a unit. They're playing within that system.
They're far more cohesive than they were.
Which is good. Quickly on Shane Wright. Right or wrong in how they've been handling him. His ice time has gone up. 2 games before the last one, 13:45. The last one against Pitt, again, at the time of this podcast, 8:42. First three, 6:14, 6:50, 6:36, and then he got up to 8:42.
And he also hasn't played.
Fourth overall pick.
He has sat for six games.
Fourth overall pick, right. Sat six games. Fourth overall pick. Always a discussion. Do you put him back? Let them develop down in the other level. Do you keep him up, grind through the system, not play? To me, they're wasting him. To me, they don't know what they have yet, and they haven't known. Give him more time. Seattle, look.
Give him more ice time.
Ice time. Seattle, look, you're playing decent hockey. You're not winning the cup. But this guy could be a huge part. The last thing you want to do, I don't think he's lacking in confidence. I really don't.
I wonder.
I don't. Okay. I don't. Because how he was at the draft, and he can say whatever he wants, that he didn't look at the Montreal bench when he was up there saying, oh, you took Slavkovsky and not me. He totally did.
I'm going to be really candid here. I don't. He speaks with a lot of swagger. I don't see it in his eyes. I don't think it's a front. I think he's convincing himself.
Okay. Okay. So do you think then that
I think he's a little shakier.
This is doing him more harm.
Okay. This is such a big conversation. Yep. Because he came from the OHL, they can't send him to the AHL.
Right.
I think in a perfect world, they send him down to the minors.
Right.
And he plays professional hockey with men, and he gets more ice time, and he's getting 18 minutes a game and 19 minutes a game instead of 8 minutes a game. But they can't do that because of the relationship of the CHL and the NHL. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to send these kids.
Want
back
to expand
to
on
AHL.
That?
I'm smiling really wide right now, so I don't get really angry again. I think it's a horrible rule. I think they need to bury it. So what? You come from Europe or you come from U.S. college and you get to go and play in the minors, but if you kids are going to stop playing in the CHL because of this.
I know.
Because it really does shut a door. So under the current set of circumstances, I don't mind what Seattle is doing. They're keeping him amongst the players because I think they're just sort of waiting for the World Junior Tournament to kick off as well. And then he can go and do that and he can play at a high level again against still younger kids, but against the best of them.
Right.
And in the meanwhile, I'd like to see him get a little bit more ice time. I don't know, Ryan, the Kraken are winning.
I know.
Winning.
I know.
So why?
So you sit in them so you don't change it. What would be wrong with, and then we'll go on because we don't have tons of time, what would be wrong with putting Shane Wright into a system when you're winning? Shane Wright's not going to, I don't think, all of a sudden change your system and make you lose.
I think giving him the 10 minutes a game or so is all right. I really do. Because I think he's part of the group. He practices with them.
Oh, yeah. No.
He works out with them.
I'm saying 10 to 12, fine. 10's good. But the whole 6 to begin and all that stuff, I thought, give him a little bit more.
Okay. Let's say 11, 12 minutes a game and we're all happy.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Sorted.
Done. Handshake. Slop. Whatever. Pittsburgh, Washington, just because we want to see who can come out of there without bandages, right?
Well,
it's the old game.
It was the, that's right. It's the two oldest teams in the league. It's also one of the best rivalries we've had of a generation.
Yeah.
Ovi versus Sydney. And I think this gives the Penguins a bit of a boost. They need something to pull them out of the doldrums. And I think maybe, facing the old rivalry in Washington might help.
They need something.
They do.
They need something. Letang, Crosby, Malkin, you feel for them. They've been through a lot of these things before, but this one is just, wow.
Letang said they're not losing any confidence. And no. I'm telling you, I'm listening to him say the words.
Oh, come on.
And I don't believe
body language down. How can you not? How can you not? It's a matter how long you've been in the league. It really is. This one's going to be fun. Vegas, Buffalo. Buffalo. Why?
Guess who's Jack coming home?
Hey, Jack, welcome back. What do you think the reception's going to be for him?
Oh boy. I don't think it's going to be pleasant.
Okay.
Because
they're going to do one of the first first break, I think, the TV timeout. They're going to put the video up, which they normally do.
Are they?
Of course they do. They play videos for people that have spent 2 months acquired by the on the trade deadline.
I'm not so
hey,
sure.
Hey, welcome
about
that.
Back. We'll see.
So they're not going to do the really? Okay, so when is this? Thursday?
So
okay, we'll be chatting all
that
game.
I don't know what they're going to do for him as a player. I will say the reception isn't going to be as vicious as it would be otherwise because the Sabres are playing well. So the hometown fans it's always easier to be more forgiving.
So more forgiving when your team's doing well.
Of course it is.
So more forgiving than say 1-10. Oh, Jack, we could have used you. Thanks for bailing on us.
Oh, or the pieces we got back for you because they got great pieces.
They did.
So, and they're working out well. So it's now, it becomes more of a mutual thing.
I think they're going to give him, there's going to be some boost, but I think they're going to give him a good ovation. I really do.
All right. I think it's a bit Pollyanna, but okay.
Okay, we'll see.
But I'm looking forward to it.
What else is on the
list? It's also going to be a cracker of a game, by the way.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah. And take the over.
Who would have thought that? I know Buffalo's had great starts over the years, then they fizzle. But who would have thought that?
Yeah, they look different now.
Yeah,
they look good.
Vegas, Buffalo in early November. Yes, please. What else do you have?
Oh, I've got, if we leapfrog to Saturday.
Yep.
Ottawa and Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Claude Giroux.
You know the reception's going to, that's going to be
that's
awful.
Totally,
I'm kidding.
Yeah, that's totally different.
I know.
Totally different.
I know. It's good. The other night when they lost, it was against Philly in Ottawa. They almost came back. They almost came back. And there was a shot of Giroux. I think he had 2 goals. I think if I'm not mistaken. There was a shot of Giroux.
He's come alive of late, for sure.
There was a shot of him on the bench. And I won't forget it. He looked devastated. He looked like he had lost... He looked like they lost game 7 of something.
He scored one single goal, but he has 4 goals in his last 3 games.
Right,
so he's really figuring it out now.
Right. It's going to be great to see. And he said, too,
that'll be fun.
He said, number one, when he faced Ottawa, faced Philly in Ottawa, he said, that's going to be strange. Oh, it's going to be completely on a different level when he goes back
to Philly. Is he going
to
walk into the wrong dressing room?
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe.
Because you're going to park in a different area.
Yeah, it's going to be so good.
The routine is going to be...
it's going to be good.
So that's definitely one of the highlights on Saturday. Yep. And then we've got Winnipeg-Calgary a little later on.
Yeah, Winnipeg's been doing well. Calgary, I'm still... I think we talked a bit about it already with the podcast. They haven't found... that they haven't gelled quite yet, but I love what Winnipeg's doing. You had a good line when we were off the air. Hellebuck is having a hell of a run.
Hellebuck's having a hella run right now.
Hella run right now.
He's playing absolutely super.
The Flames are on a massive road trip. So 4 in a row going into this week.
They've lost four in a row.
Right. And they have the Islanders, they have the Devils, and they have the Bruins.
So these are the spots that they're landing.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Is it doable for them to sweep those three? I don't think so.
No.
Is it doable to take 2 of 3?
I don't think so.
Is it doable to take 1?
I think so.
And that team is?
They have to. I'm not sure. Islanders?
I'm going
to
say New York.
Right. It's going to be tough, though.
Daryl Sutter is going to be even in more of an angry state of mind if they get back from this road trip and their losing skid is still.
But it's tough competition, so I don't know how hard you can be on them.
They're
right?
The Calgary Flames. You have to be.
But this losing, is a team. But losing four straight is unacceptable, unacceptable for this team. They are better than that.
Unacceptable. All right. Fantasy.
All right. We're only going to do five. We've been doing seven lately, and I think it's too many. Okay. So we talked about him earlier, the starting goaltender right now for the New Jersey Devils, Vanecek.
Yes.
He is absolutely under-rostered in ESPN.com leagues, which means he's probably under-rostered in other leagues across the fantasy spectrum as well.
Why would he be under-rostered?
It's the Devils.
Okay.
And people don't believe it yet.
Don't believe it. Okay.
And it's
Vanecek. That was what I was getting at. Okay. All right.
So, right?
So even though they're playing well.
It always takes a little bit of convincing.
All right.
And I'm going to tell you now, hook your cart. If you have a questionable goaltender, say Jordan Binnington is one of your starters, give it some thought whether you want to switch this out before the fantasy league goes completely down the pooper. Jamie Benn.
Uh-huh.
Jamie Benn is scoring right now. Jamie Benn is not going to score all the time.
Can you see what he did with Zach Hyman the other night in that game? So there was a little scrum at the end, back of Edmonton's zone or Dallas's zone, and Benn was standing beside Hyman. They were just standing. They nothing to do with the skirmish. And all of a sudden, Benn just takes a stick and knocks out of Hyman's hand.
I didn't see that, no.
Hyman goes down to pick it up. They stand, and then Benn kind of, and then they end up fighting.
Oh, really?
It wasn't a bad fight, but it was just one of those things that typical Jamie Benn. Anyway, completely out of fantasy topic.
I mean, he's not going to be, again, what he was.
No, he won't.
But he's on a heater right now.
He can
now.
Still be something.
He can still, and he scores in spurts.
Yep.
So this is my big thing. Stream him, or if you play the daily game, use him now because he's got, I think it's 6 goals in 3 games or something ridiculous like that.
Right.
But he is on a heater right now. This is one small Jamie Benn anecdote. I can't remember who the interview was with, and I want to say Blake Wheeler. This is a few years back. Who are the two toughest players to play against in the Western Conference?
Yes.
The defenseman was Roman Josi.
I think
no
it was
surprise
Wheeler.
There.
Yeah.
And Jamie Benn was the toughest forward to play against. And that I think that speaks volumes when another prominent player on another prominent
team. It's complimentary.
It's absolutely. I think it's the flattery of the highest order, for sure. I always think about that. You can be that type of player and not be a great fantasy player, but right now Jamie Benn is hot. Let's go back to, now we're going to come back to the East of Florida. Carter Verhaeghe gets no respect. He's putting up points like nobody's business. Of course, it's partially because he plays on a line with Alexander Barkov. He still scored when Matthew Tkachuk was suspended for his first game. Carter Verhaeghe, a lot of people are like, who? Just put him in your fantasy lineup. You can thank me for that later. And
he's getting shots too.
He's getting shots as well. Yeah, yeah. He's a really good player. Yeah. I think we just talk about Barkov so much on that team now. Remember the old underappreciated member of the Florida Panthers, underrated for 7 years. You can't be underrated for 7 years. If you're talking about somebody
Huberto was underrated, according to everybody.
And I think just the Panthers are, just because, outside of Aaron Ekblad. But anyway, Carter Verhaeghe with the Panthers, moving again out west to the LA Kings, Gabriel Vilardi.
Mm-hmm.
He is having, and he went, what I like is, he hit a little bit of a slow skid, and then he scored again the other night. So it wasn't the start of a new trend. What we saw from Gabriel Vilardi scoring up a storm to start the season. And now, and then he stopped for a bit. Okay, this is what we have to deal with. And then he just scored again. So it's showing that there isn't a pattern of hot and cold so much. He just took a couple games off.
So you're thinking he's going to go on a bit of a run.
I think he's going to have a career. Well, he's going to have a career year no matter what. He played half last year in the AHL.
Yeah.
But he's going to. No, I think he's going to go on a huge heater for a long time. He's also a great player.
Yeah, he has 9 goals, 4 more than he did all of last season.
Isn't it
in
amazing?
In the 25 games. And there was the story too about his back. His back almost prevented him years ago from even playing hockey and even skating. So he's come
a long
way.
And he's so young.
Yeah, still young.
It's nice. That's really nice to see. On the blue line, Hampus Lindholm.
Yep.
Yes. Yes, everybody. I know Charlie McAvoy is coming back soon. Yes, I do. Doesn't matter. Hampus Lindholm is
Hampus
still going
to. Hampus is your guy.
He's not more so than Charlie is, but he is under-rostered across the fantasy spectrum now, and he's still going to contribute. Maybe in different ways, but he's still going to put up the points.
So let me ask you this then. When McAvoy does come back, some of the playing time get taken back from
a little bit, sure, but not damagingly so.
Okay.
So, first of all, McAvoy is not back tomorrow.
Right.
It's still a little bit, and I think there's going to be a warm up period there as well. So, But for now, at least for now, Lindholm should be in your lineup.
And let me just say this, Vic knows what she's talking about. So check her workout, ESPN.com, the fantasy side of things. That is a look into some of the players this week that you should be looking at. And hopefully by next week, they'll be coming back to you and saying, wow, yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
Oh, yes, I'm complimented all the time for my contributions.
Doing well in my pool. Yeah. We'll tell that story next week about how I came, how I got my whole fantasy rostered this year, thanks to you. Well, stressful, what, 2 hours? Anyway, we'll do that. Been a lot of fun. Out of time. This has been the NHL in 7. And again, we're available on so many different outlets, Amazon, Apple Podcasts, Google, iHeartRadio, Spotify. You can follow us at RyanPayton75 and at Victoria Matiash. We'll be back at it next week for another edition of NHL in 7.
See you then.
This has been NHL in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.